Will you please head back with me to the book of Jonah? Of course, we're still in Jonah here. We've been in it for a little while. But this morning, we're actually going to begin looking at the final chapter of this book, Jonah chapter 4. However, if you have read through this book, and I encouraged you as we began this study and began our journey through the book of Jonah, to read through it. But if you're like me, you almost wish that this book stopped with the last verse of chapter 3. Because then we kind of see it stop at a high point in the life of Nineveh and, of course, even in the life of Jonah. It would have ended with a great spiritual awakening in the great city of Nineveh and even the great deliverance by God Himself. Let's look at chapter 3, verse 10, and see how it ends. It says that God saw their works, the works of repentance that the people of Nineveh had done before the Lord, that they turned from their evil way. Praise the Lord. God repented and relented of the evil, that judgment that He would perform on them, that He said that He would do unto them, and He did it not. Now, if it were up to you, if it were up to me, we'd probably want to end the book right there. Because that's the high note. That's the best part of the book we see. But guess what? It doesn't end there, does it? It doesn't end at the end of chapter 3. And that's because it's not what God wanted to do. He may have been through dealing with the great city of Nineveh. We don't see too much about Nineveh in chapter 4, but God was not through in His dealings with Jonah. There were still some lessons for Jonah to learn. Some lessons about the Lord, number one. Some lessons about others, like the people of Nineveh that he was supposed to go and minister to, but especially some lessons about himself. As we're going to see, there was something still missing in the heart and in the life of Jonah. So what was it? Why is there this chapter 4? What was missing in the life of Jonah? Well, we're going to look more closely at the first four verses of chapter 4 to find out. Where we read, verse 1, that after seeing what God had done, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country, back in Israel? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? Doest thou well to be angry? In these verses, God starts getting to the heart of the matter in Jonah's life. And even at the heart of the matter of Jonah's initial disobedience, way back in chapter 1. And the heart of the matter is this. Jonah's disobedience was a matter of his heart. And we need to learn that this is the case for all of us. Whenever you have any disobedience in your life, or even any doubt in your life, it is a matter of your heart. And it is your heart that the Lord is after. He was after Jonah's heart, not just him obeying, not just in Jonah going and delivering this word of warning to the Ninevites. God was after Jonah's heart. And as we're going to see through this chapter, that is exactly what God is after in your life and in my life. Yes, He wants obedience. Yes, He wants holiness. Yes, He wants righteousness. But He wants you to do it from your heart. It's not just compliance with His word that He's after. He is after compliance with compassion. He's after compliance with a desire to please Him and to help others. So what we're going to see this morning is how the Lord finally is getting a hold of Jonah's heart and how He can get a hold of our heart as well. The first thing that we need to do is to look at the compassion of the Lord, just like Jonah did. Jonah, in chapter 3, learned and saw the compassion of God on display. Now, we haven't heard or seen much of Jonah here lately. In fact, we last saw and heard from Jonah in verse 4 of chapter 3, where he was proclaiming the word of God's warning to the people of Nineveh. In fact, look at verse 4 for a moment. This is the last time that we've seen Jonah up until chapter 4, where Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And so Jonah, back in chapter 3, was faithfully doing what God had told him to do that second time. He finally got his attention. He finally arose and went to Nineveh and then cried the word of God to the people of Nineveh. He did exactly what God wanted him to do. And so in chapter 3, all eyes then turn to Nineveh. And our question is, what are they going to do with God's word? How are they going to respond to God and His word? And then what's God going to do in response to that? And of course, we've seen what they did. But where is Jonah through all of this? Where is Jonah when the Ninevites repented of their sin and turned to the Lord in faith? What is Jonah doing during this time? Well, we don't know exactly where, but we know that he's in Nineveh. We know that he is somewhere in Nineveh, and he is listening, he is hearing, and he is seeing everything that is going on. He saw the king and his repentance. He saw the nobles sending out this proclamation for all of the people to repent. He saw and he even heard all of the animals as they were probably wailing because they didn't have any food or water from the fast. And he was witness to watching God work. He was seeing the compassion of the Lord in action. He was seeing a shocking compassion by the Lord. In fact, look again at the result of Nineveh's repentance there in verse 10. When God saw their works, and Jonah recognized that God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, God repented and relented of that evil, that judgment He was going to perform on them, that He had said that He would do unto them, and He did it not. This is what Jonah saw. Jonah was an eyewitness to the greatest awakening in the history of the world up to that point, perhaps of all time. But God was getting a hold of their hearts. God was getting the attention of the people of Nineveh, and they responded through faith and repentance. And Jonah saw that. But then, through that repentance, the Ninevites got the attention of the Lord Himself, and He delivered them from His own hand of judgment. And Jonah saw that too. And he saw the compassion of God, he saw the mercy of God, he saw the love of God on display to the people of Nineveh. And it was a shocking compassion to him. But you realize that Jonah, when we come to chapter 4, didn't want any of that to happen. He didn't want any of that to happen. And that is why in the first words of chapter 4, we see the shocking contrast of Jonah. Jonah does not respond the way that we would expect he would respond, or the way that he should respond, the way that perhaps you respond when you hear of a neighbor or a family member coming to know the Lord as their Savior. And we rejoice and we're excited. We love to hear about that. We would think that Jonah would respond in that way, but he didn't. We would expect joy and jubilation like we hear about in Luke 15, 7 and 10, where Jesus tells us this. Jesus said, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." And then he adds in verse 10, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Now, if that is what heaven is like, when just one sinner repents and turns to the Lord in faith, imagine what it must have been like in heaven when the entire city of Nineveh repented and came to the Lord in faith. Imagine the joy and the jubilation and the great glory that was given to the Lord during that time. And we would expect, after looking at chapter 3 and really being excited along with the Ninevites, we would expect the prophet of God, who is the eyewitness of this miraculous event, to be joyful and jubilant as well. But instead, verse 1, this is what we read about Jonah. "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry." What a shocking response. What a shocking response for God's own prophet. What a shocking response for God's own missionary who was sent on God's mission to reach the hearts and the lives of these Ninevites, and yet it angered him and it displeased him. What a shocking contrast to the compassion and mercy of God that we just left in verse 10 of chapter 3. And what we see in verse 1 is that the pleasure of God, which was to have mercy on the Ninevites, actually displeased Jonah. It displeased him. We already know that God was pleased to show mercy to these people who were in a desperate situation. They were going to be destroyed and judged for their sin and their wickedness in 40 days if they didn't turn. And they did turn. And it was the pleasure of God to have mercy on them. Now, he didn't have to do that. He could have, within his rights, gone ahead and destroyed them. But they repented. And he did not. And even though that was the pleasure of God, to have mercy, it displeased Jonah, not just a little bit, it says there in verse 1. It displeased Jonah exceedingly. The idea of those words shows us that Jonah was so upset that he literally would have been shaking. He was so upset about what happened. Now, what was he upset about? He was upset about what God had done to them and showed mercy. Have you ever been upset about something that way, to that degree? Now, what was the reason for that? Why were you upset? Now, compare that to why Jonah was upset. A lot of times when we get upset, we think about things that really are bad in our life, or bad that happened to someone else. This is something that was good. This was God's mercy on display to the people of Nineveh. And yet Jonah was upset about this. He was so displeased. He was exceedingly displeased. He likely was shaking. He was so upset. But we also see that this peace of God that God gave to Nineveh to spare them not only displeased Jonah, but it angered Jonah. He was very angry, it says. And who was he angry at? He was angry at God. My, how Jonah has fallen once again. We see in chapter 2 a repentant Jonah coming before the Lord and saying to him how he needed God and how he was confessing to him his failure and his sin. And then finally in chapter 3 he obeys the Lord, and yet there was still something missing in Jonah's obedience. There was still something missing in Jonah's heart and in Jonah's life. And we see that very clearly here in chapter 4. Something was missing. He was displeased and angry at God. Now that is a shocking contrast to the compassion of God. But you know that through this, God was showing what was missing in Jonah. Now Jonah was a man of passion. Great passion. He was displeased exceedingly. That's a passion. He was very angry at God himself. That's a passion. And yet he had no compassion like God did. That was what was missing in the heart and the life of Jonah. A compassion in his heart to the people who needed God. There was compassion missing. Just like there are things that are missing in our hearts and lives, perhaps there's something in our life that we have not fully yielded and surrendered to the Lord. When we look at Jonah, we see ourselves. Maybe there's something missing in your life that you haven't fully given over to God. And even though Jonah finally obeyed the voice of the Lord in chapter 3, something was still missing. And that is why God's attention shifts back to Jonah here in this last chapter. Because God is not through dealing with Jonah. And we can all be thankful that God is not through dealing with us and the things in our life that we have not surrendered as well. You see, the heart of the matter for Jonah was this. He may have been compliant to the Word of God. He may have did exactly what God told him to do there in chapter 3, but he had no compassion for those who were lost and who needed God's Word themselves. Think about your own life and your own heart. Think about what you know to be true. Think about all of the Bible that you have learned and all of the message that you've heard and all of perhaps the desires that God has given you. And yet, we may comply with His Word in so many ways. But yet, where is that compassion in our heart for others who need to hear the same Word that you have been given? The great privilege that we have is a privilege that others need as well. Jonah needed to look at the compassion of the Lord and seek after the same heart. And that's what we need to do as well. We need to look at the compassion of the Lord like Jonah needed to and seek after the same heart too. And that is how the Lord can get our attention. Look at the compassion of the Lord. Do you realize that you can see His compassion all through the pages of Scripture? Go to the New Testament and see the Lord Jesus. Listen to the Lord Jesus and look at the compassion that He has. That's what we need to look for. But how else can the Lord get our heart? Second, we need to learn from the character of the Lord as well, which, unfortunately, Jonah did not do. Even though Jonah was visibly upset with the Lord, he still remembered some things about the Lord, and that's about as far as it went. Look at verse 2 with me and see what Jonah remembered about the Lord. After Jonah was upset, he prayed unto the Lord and said, "I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil." Jonah had an opportunity to learn from the character of God itself. But did he? What are some things that Jonah remembered in this verse? Well, he first remembered his prayer to the Lord. It says that he prayed to the Lord in verse 2. Now, one thing that Jonah still had going for him is that he took his complaint to the Lord. Now, a lot of times when we complain or gripe or when we are angry about something, even to the Lord, what do we do with that anger? We might tell it to a whole bunch of other people. Very few people take it to the Lord. Well, Jonah did take this to the Lord. Now, he didn't go to the Lord in the right way. He was making demands on the Lord. He didn't go to the Lord for the right reasons, but he still went to the Lord. And he still went to the Lord in prayer, and that's something we need to remember. Even if we are hurt or upset or even angry perhaps, we should be casting all of our cares upon Him. Why? For He careth for you. And God understands that we often do have those emotions and situations, and He wants us to come to Him in prayer. Because when you pray, you are then in a position to learn from the character of the Lord. Jonah, even though he didn't come for the right reasons in the right way, he was at least in a position where God could work in his heart. Jonah remembered to pray to the Lord. But Jonah also remembered his purpose against the Lord. Listen very carefully to what Jonah prayed in verse 2. He prayed unto the Lord and said this, "I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore," or "that's why, I fled before unto Tarshish." Here in verse 2, Jonah is finally admitting to the Lord and really disclosing to us the reason and the purpose as to why Jonah disobeyed the Lord in the first place. Now, Jonah seems to have forgotten everything that God had already done for him in chapters 1 and 2. Remember that? He was drowning in the midst of the Mediterranean Sea. He was about to die. He was probably gasping with his last breath. And yet, God sent a whale, a fish, to deliver Jonah from that watery grave. Now, Jonah didn't deserve that. Jonah experienced firsthand the mercy of God. But now, he forgets it. He forgets everything God did for him, and he's displaying a selfish and self-centered heart that he had from the beginning. Now again, we may fault Jonah for this, but how often do we return to the very actions and attitudes that we had before we experienced God's grace and mercy? How often do we do that? We realize that God has been so gracious and merciful to us, and yet we return to the very same actions and attitudes that we once had. We often feel, as Robert Robinson once described, prone to wander. Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Jonah was prone to wander. Why? Because he was a sinner saved by grace. And do you realize that as long as we have breath in our lungs, if we know Jesus as our Savior, there is still a proneness in us, a flesh in us, that seeks to wander. So what do we need to do? We need to give back to God the things that are still missing in our life. As Robert Robinson continued in his song, what do we need to do? "Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. seal it for thy courts above. Jonah remembered why he left and went to Tarshish instead of going to Nineveh. And this is why. His perception of the Lord. What he knew to be true about God is the reason why Jonah disobeyed. The perception of the Lord. In this prayer, Jonah admits finally why he didn't want to go, and it was for this reason. Verse 2. For I knew, Jonah says, for I knew, Lord, that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Now this doesn't make sense to us, does it? Why would this reason be the reason for Jonah not wanting to go to Nineveh in the first place? Because of God's grace and mercy and being slow to anger and of His kindness and His desire to relent from His judgment? The reason Jonah disobeyed the Lord, he says, was because he knew the character of the Lord. Now, how did Jonah know all this about God? First and foremost, Jonah knew it through the Word of God, didn't he? I put on your message guide some passages that are very similar, very close to the very words that Jonah says. Exodus 34, 6 and 7. Numbers 14, 18 through 19. Psalm 86, 5 and 15. Psalm 145, 9. And in fact, in Joel chapter 2, verse 13, it is word for word what Jonah says here in verse 2. Jonah knew the character of God, and he knew it from the Word of God. He also knew it through his own people. How often would Jonah have heard about God and His character in the life and the history of his people and his family? He would have heard it from the time he was a little boy all the way up to this time. But do you realize that Jonah also knew this through his own experience? Jonah had experienced the grace and mercy of God for himself. He knew about the favor of the Lord, that He is a gracious God. He knew about the forgiveness of the Lord, that He is merciful. He knew about the forbearance of God, that He is of great kindness. He knew about the faithfulness of the Lord, that He will repent and relent from His judgment. He knew all of this about the Lord. And that is why he didn't want to obey and go to Nineveh. Now again, that doesn't make sense to us. But you know what we are not told? We are not told here or in any other place in the book of Jonah why Jonah's heart was so hard and so calloused against the people of Nineveh. Because obviously there was something there. There was something between him and the Ninevites that he did not want them to experience the character of God for themselves. Now we don't know what that is. There are some people that believe that it was political. Because years earlier, the king of Nineveh had exacted tribute and taxes from the people of Israel. And that would have been a problem. And some people say, well, it might have been a political reason. It could have just been a national reason. Because the Jews considered themselves to be God's special appointed people, and they were the Gentiles. And we don't want to have anything to do with the Gentiles. They would get what they deserve. And perhaps that was the reason why Jonah didn't want them to experience the grace and mercy of God. Or maybe it was spiritual. Maybe Jonah thought, you know what? I'm not going to waste my breath on those wicked Ninevites. Because I know that there's no hope. But wait a second. He says, I know my God is a compassionate God. They don't deserve the compassion of God for how bad they are. Basically taking God's role into his own hands. Fact is, we don't know why Jonah had this callous heart toward the people of Nineveh. Perhaps the reason that it is vague, the reason why it's not given to us, is to show you and to show me that really there's no reason that is a good reason to have this kind of heart toward people. Jonah was not compassionate toward these Ninevites. And so Jonah admits that he knew that God would show mercy to the Ninevites. And he didn't want that to happen for whatever reason. It could have been one or two or all of those reasons combined. Whatever it was, he didn't want the Ninevites to experience God's mercy. And that shows a lack of compassion and a lack of heart. But you know that also shows us that you can know a lot of truth about God. This phrase in verse 2 shows us that Jonah was very orthodox in his theology. You may know a lot of theology. You may know a lot about God. And that's a good thing. You may have heard it, you may have studied it, you may have memorized it, you may be able to use all the highfalutin terms of theology, but guess what? If it hasn't affected your heart, it means little to nothing. Jonah knew this about God. And instead of letting God's heart affect his heart, this is the reason why he didn't want to go to Nineveh. Because I know God is this way. And that shows a very calloused and uncompassionate heart. You see, Jonah had a head knowledge of God and not a heart knowledge. I forget who it was that told me that the longest distance is between the head and the heart. And that's true, isn't it? How much do you know about God, and yet how much does your knowledge of God affect your heart? What he knew about God still did not impact his heart. Now, Jonah may have finally been compliant to the Word of God, but he had no compassion. He didn't have the same heart that he knew that belonged to God. He knew that God was gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth thee of the evil. But Jonah didn't want that kind of heart in his life. He had no compassion. But do you realize that he needed to learn from the character of the Lord? And so do we. How much do you know about God? And yet how much has that impacted your heart for others? We need to learn from the character of the Lord and seek to have that same heart, a heart that is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness. Does your heart reflect the heart of your God? Unfortunately, it did not reflect it in the life and the heart of Jonah. You and I need to learn from the character of God. But how else can the Lord get to our heart? Well, we see in verse 3 and 4, that third, we need to listen to the counsel of the Lord. In verse 3, we again see how deeply Jonah felt about this matter. And we see the Lord's own counsel to a sorrowing heart. Jonah was in the pit of despair. And the reason for it was because God showed mercy to the Ninevites. We don't understand this. Or do we? But we see the Lord's own counsel to the sorrowing heart, even when his sorrow was misplaced and wrong. Look at verse 3. Jonah is still praying and says, "Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Jonah wanted to die. Why? Why did Jonah want to die? Well, because God showed mercy to the people of Nineveh. What a reason, huh? Here, Jonah is sounding like a sulking, moping, and pouting child. Now, we didn't see too much of this in chapter 2 and 3, but there was something missing in his obedience and compliance to the Lord. And God is putting his finger right on it. Now, despair, even depression, can be a common emotion when a Christian is guilty of sin. Have you ever felt that way? Discouraged, depressed, maybe even a little point of despair. I've known some people that have said this very thing when they were found guilty in sin. They said, "I wish God would just take my life." Have you ever felt that way? I think Paul had kind of an understanding of that. Perhaps he didn't say it this way, but he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from the body of this death?" You know what his answer was? "I thank God through the Lord Jesus Christ." The Lord Jesus could deliver him from this despondency and despair and depression. And Jonah needed to know this too. But here he's pouting. Here he didn't get his own way. And so Jonah, as the reason for his despair, was this: "God, you didn't kill the Ninevites, so now just kill me." Sounds like a kid, doesn't it? But really, God had every right and reason to accomplish Jonah's request, didn't he? Maybe if we were in the place of God, good thing we weren't, we would have finished what God started in the Mediterranean Sea. "Okay, Jonah, you want to die? Okay, I will answer your request and take you. I didn't have to give you this mercy and that grace when you were sinking and drowning in the Mediterranean Sea, and now you're just complaining and pouting to me. I will do that." You know, we would expect and really even want God to let Jonah have it. But does he? No. Instead, What we see in verse 4 is the Lord's own counsel to search his heart. Listen to what the Lord says. He is still showing his character of grace and mercy to Jonah, of all people. And in verse 4, the Lord simply asks him a question. A question to get Jonah to search his own heart. Then said the Lord, "Doest thou well to be angry?" Doest thou well to be angry, he asks. And with that question and other questions that we're going to come to in this chapter, God is trying to get Jonah and to get us to provide the Lord a thoughtful response. This is often how God works in his people. As one writer says, he does not condemn, but he invites us to condemn ourselves and admit that our anger is not good. God often asks us probing questions so that his word and his spirit can work in our hearts. So when we find something that's missing, when we find something that we haven't surrendered, we offer it up to him so that he can have all of our hearts. It's with this question that God is getting Jonah's attention once again. Of course, the answer that the Lord is looking for is no. Perhaps Jonah right now is saying, yes, I have the right to be angry. But the fact is, he had no right to be angry. It was not well for Jonah to be angry. But for now, this is all God says and all God asks. Because the Lord was getting to the heart of the matter. He was reaching into Jonah's own heart, and now Jonah needed to listen to the counsel of the Lord and seek after that same heart that God had. You see, Jonah had no right or reason to be angry. No right, no reason. But who did? The Lord. He had every right to be angry with the Ninevites because they sinned and were wicked against him. But when they heard God's word, they repented and believed, and God showed his character to them, his character of compassion and mercy. But God also had the right to be angry with Jonah, his own prophet, because of his disobedience and now his self-revealed selfishness. Yet God was still showing his character to him. A character of compassion and mercy. Do you realize why? Because God was not yet through with Jonah. Again, Leslie Allen writes this, that God does not condemn Jonah, but invites Jonah to condemn himself and admit that his anger was not good because there was something still missing in his heart. So the question we've come to is this, will Jonah hear God's word this time? Will he hear it? Will he give the Lord all of his heart and seek after a compassionate heart like the Lord has? After all, this really is the heart of the matter, that God wants all of your heart. I want you to ask yourself this question as we finish up. Does he have it? You say, well, he got my attention when I was saved. I cried out to him and I prayed to him. I've spent time reading his word and learning more about him. I've taken theology classes and heard countless sermons, and I've gotten to know him quite well. I've even complied with his word and obeyed many, many times. But does he have your heart? Does he have your heart? Does he have all of your heart? Every piece of it, every bit of it. We can also be thankful that the book of Jonah did not end at chapter 3. Why? Because it shows to us that God is still working on each one of us. He's still searching and seeking and probing our hearts. You see, like Jonah, we still have a lot to learn. Like Jonah, we have a long way to go and a long way to grow. So how can we have the same heart that God has? How can God get our attention and get our hearts? These three ways. You and I need to look at the compassion of the Lord like Jonah did, but don't respond in the same way. You need to learn from the character of the Lord. What you know in your head about God needs to affect your heart. And then listen to the counsel of the Lord. Sometimes in that still small voice, he asks you this question, "Doest thou well to be angry?" Not a whole lot. And yet, sometimes it doesn't take a whole lot for God to get a hold of your heart. Give the Lord your heart. Give the Lord all of your heart. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I pray and thank you that Jonah did not end in chapter 3, even though that might be where we would have stopped it. But yet chapter 4 still shows us that you are working in the heart and life of your prophet Jonah, just like you are still working in our hearts and lives as well. Because, Lord, we know that our obedience and our relationship with you is incomplete. There are still things in our life that we have not fully surrendered to you. Perhaps there is compassion missing in our life, just like there was in Jonah's life. Or maybe there's another characteristic or attribute in our life that needs to be there that we are holding back from you. I pray, O Lord, that today you will help us to see how you got a hold of Jonah, and really how you can get a hold of our heart as well. Help us, Lord, to look at your compassion and to see it. Help us, Lord, to learn from your character. And when we think about all we know about you, I pray that it won't just be a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge. And then, Lord, I pray that that learning is something that will continue to take effect in our life, so that we will then live for you, and that we will give to you every bit of our heart. So when we comply to your word, it will be from the heart, because we know that's what you're after. I thank you, O Lord, that when we are in the pit of depression and despair because of our sin, we're thankful that you sent the Lord Jesus Christ, who can deliver us from that. And really, when you ask that question of Jonah, he should have not only realized that the answer was no, I have no right to be angry, but he also should have looked to you as a faithful and forgiving God. He had seen it, experienced it in his life already, and yet he was so prone to wander. Lord, perhaps there's someone here who is wandering in their own heart before you. I pray, O Lord, that these questions will draw them back. That, Lord, they will see that something is still missing, that they will turn that over to you so that you can have all of their heart. We thank you, Lord, that you're still dealing with us. We thank you, Lord, that you work in our heart through your Spirit and through your Word. And now I pray, O Lord, that you will take our hearts, every bit of it, for your service and for your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.